John 15, and we'll look at verse 1. In John 15, the title of the message is Abide in Christ. And I can tell you, you know how to fellowship in Christ, which is good. It's very good. And so we're looking at John chapter 15. If you're new to our fellowship time, God bless you. Thank you for being here. We're a ministry that teaches through the Bible, so we're in John 15 today. And in verse 1, Jesus is speaking and is saying, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for gathering us together. Thank you for the time of worship, singing our praise and adoration. Thank you for the way that your Spirit ministers to us during that time. Thank you for the love and the friendship, Lord, as people greet one another, are mindful of one another. We can pray for one another. And we do ask, God, that you would minister to those that maybe can't join us today because of their own health condition. We pray, God, that you would touch them with your healing power, your grace, and your mercy. And we thank you for others that have been able to join with us because you have brought healing upon their bodies. We commit this Bible study to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So in John's Gospel, John was written that we may believe and know that Jesus is the Christ. And by believing and knowing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we could have eternal life, life in his name. So that's why the Gospel was written. So 21 chapters, and in this gospel, the first 12 chapters really deal with the ministry of Jesus Christ, his ministry on earth, about a 3-year period of time. Matthew, Mark, and Luke also deal with the ministry of Jesus, but John is different. And so in John's gospel, probably 80% of John's gospel is not included in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in John's gospel, as the message is to make Christ known as the Messiah, that people would believe in him, the Holy Spirit reveals 7 specific signs that Jesus did on earth. And then also 7 specific I am statements. For example, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then today, the 7th one is I am the true vine. So many times people want to know who you are, what your religious affiliation. And many times we say Christian, which could be very accurate as we're followers of Christ. I like to define it a little bit closer and saying I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and I believe in the word of God to be God's word for us today. That helps to answer questions. But rarely do I say I'm a branch. But Jesus calls us a branch today. And in our walk and our relation with the Lord, we sometimes and often perhaps have times of, what is my purpose? What is the Christian life? I know I'm saved. I'm not struggling with that. But in conversations I have with people, there's a confusion. Like, what do I do now? What does God want for me to do? Or what the things must I do? And so there's confusion. And Jesus understood that. So in chapters 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17, this is just over a period of one day. When we're reading the text today, he's going to be on the cross the next day. So this is essential what he's saying to his disciples. You may say, well, that's for them. What about me today? And I would like to say that you and I are both in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. We're there. Because we're followers of Christ. We're his disciples. What he's saying to them, he's saying to us this morning. So he told us in chapter 13 that we need to really consider what it is to be a servant. And so Christ demonstrated what it was as he washed people's feet. Now, he didn't create a new commandment for us to go about washing people's feet. He showed us that there's humbleness of heart, that you look to how to care for other people, how to be mindful, how to serve other people. And then he continued to tell us in John chapter 13 that all men will know that you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. So he begins to build a relationship. So one with him and one with others. Again, it's how do we live the Christian life? What does it mean to live the Christian life? So to be a servant, to love God and to love others. And then he drops a bomb in chapters 13, and then he says to disciples, I'm leaving, and where I'm going, you can't come in the way. And they go, what's this all about? And he says, it's actually better that I go, because if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit to be with you. And if we can think about that for just a moment, how lovely it would have been in that first century to be a disciple of Jesus, to be there and to listen to him and to hear his words and to receive instruction and correction and comfort and encouragement from Christ alone. And he says, I'm going to heaven and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God will dwell every believer and every believer. So it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So Christ is with you and with me every day, everywhere we go. He's with us. He ministers to us. He's called the helper and the comforter, the one that comes alongside, the one that says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I am there for you. I'm going to see you through. He who began that good work in you is faithful to complete that work. And his disciples, I mean, it's hard for that to register to them. And they're thinking and processing all of this. And then in chapter 15, at the end of 14, actually, he says, it's time to arise and let's go. So they've been in this upper room period of time. And I believe that they're going to be headed to the Garden of Gethsemane at this time. They're going to cross over the Brook of Kidron, and they're going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. So he's with his disciples. He's leading them on the way. In chapter 15, as he's passing, they're probably going by the temple. It's recorded on the temple, on the doors and on the temple, there's vines. And vine was a real symbol of Israel's history. And it's in the documentation of many of the writings concerning the vine and the branches. And it's something that they're very familiar with in their work and in their ministry that they had. He says in Isaiah chapter 5, he says, so he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. Isaiah 5, 3 and 4, judge please between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done to my vineyard? And so Jeremiah chapter 2 says, yet I planted you a noble vine, a seed of the highest quality. So a vine in Israel, it's very symbolic. They knew what that was. So he's passing by and seeing perhaps the emblem of a vine or seeing agriculturally, but he wants to bring an illustration to his disciples and to us today, something that's going to really help us out. I think that when we leave here today, we're going to be encouraged in our walk and relation with the Lord. And I also have an application of what it is to abide. So he speaks about abiding. He speaks about bearing fruit for his glory. And we're wondering, what is that? And what is it to abide? I mean, it sounds good, but what is it? How does that work? So as we get to the text in chapter 15, verse 1, he's letting us know that he's the vine. My Father's the vine dresser. So Jesus is the vine. The life is in the vine. The Father is taking care of the vineyard. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So as believers, I believe in our relationship with the Lord, he's wanting us to bear fruit. And what happens when we think about that? We think about how we can really work hard, engage in that struggle to bear fruit. But let's follow the illustration and let's be accurate to the biblical test. You can see an apple on a tree. You can see the branches, the leaves, the buds, and later in the year, the apple appears. We good with that? We all know that illustration. Or raspberries, or blueberries. Have you ever seen the apple struggling on the branch? Just struggling. I mean, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to bear fruit, and I'm struggling. You think that's ridiculous? Of course not. What is it doing? It's abiding. It's holding on to that branch. And this will help us in our Christian walk. God isn't wanting us to struggle. We cannot produce fruit. We can't make it happen. We can't manufacture it. My great-grandma did, and it was plastic apples on the table. Don't bite into it. They look good, but it's manufactured fruit. And so I think many times Christians think, that's what I need. How do I make this fruit? How do I make it happen? And he understands that, and he says, you can't. He says, I've saved you, and my relationship with you is one that's going to produce fruit. I say, okay. So how does that take place? He says, it's a relationship. It takes place by you, the branch, abiding in the vine, abiding with Jesus. And so he's making it clear that he wants us to produce fruit. Now here's another area, quite honestly, that Christians struggle with. Because sincere Christians will look at this text and it'll cause great discouragement and great depression and great anxiety and just be really bummed out because they're looking at their life and go, I don't have any fruit in my life. There's nothing there. I don't see any fruit at all. Nothing. Maybe I'm not even saved. Maybe I'm not even in the vine. Where am I? What's going on? Those are honest questions. We get in the vine through regeneration. We must be born again and be related to Christ. So the first thing for all of us is, has that taken place? It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. He lives for me. So the first question is have you experienced a born-again relationship with Jesus Christ? You say, yes, you know that to be true. I love the Lord. I asked for his forgiveness. I was baptized. I was excited. I was on fire for the Lord. I shared God with my family. And I, you know, and love serving, but I've just gone through a period of time, a long season of time, and there doesn't seem to be any life, any fruit. And then I think we go back to the scriptures and let's follow with what Jesus says. In verse 3, he says, you are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. So for the struggling Christian who has been born again, but there doesn't seem to be any buds on the vine, on the branch, and you're just struggling, I don't know what my purpose is. I'm lacking joy. I'm lacking fulfillment. We come back in verse 3, and it says, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. And then we get back to realizing that, wait, in this relationship with the Lord, I'm right with God. He's cleansed me. Just like he did in chapter 13. Remember, Peter said, Jesus says, I'm going to wash your feet. Peter says, you can't wash my feet. Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in this ministry. And Peter says, well, then bring on the shower. I mean, just bring out the pressure washer. I mean, I just want to get cleansed. And Jesus goes, oh, Peter, okay. Let's start over again, Peter. My blood has cleansed you. And it's just when you walk in this world, our feet get dirty. And so repentance cleanses our feet. You're clean already. Your heart is clean. You've accepted me. So I would say that in verse 3, it's encouraging because it brings me in my life and my walk when I think things are barren and I'm saying, God, what's going on? I love you. I just don't see that fruit that I would like to see. And he leads me back to that place of just saying, God, search my heart, as David said. Try me, Lord, if there's things within my life I don't see. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I need you, Jesus. So renew that friendship, that relationship that we have with him. He's going to, in chapter 15, he's going to say, you are the vine. He is the vine. We are the branches. So he's going to call us branches in 15. And he's going to call us, we're not going to cover it today, but he's going to call us friends. This is a relationship that he has with us. He sees you. He loves you. He saved you and me. And he's calling you his friend. You're in fellowship with him. And he says, you've been saved for a purpose to bear fruit. And maybe on the vine, there isn't anything at the moment. Maybe you are discouraged. God will encourage you and me today in his word. He is at work. He is there. And there are seasons, I tell you, I love fruit. We have many blueberry bushes, trees, and raspberries at our house. And unfortunately, this year, they didn't produce like they have in the past. I come out and, I mean, I was promising in the beginning, look good with buds, but it's just not there. And I talk to them. When the neighbors aren't around, come on, put out. I've seen the prices of blueberries. You must put out now, please. And the raspberries, we just stock our freezer with them. What's going on? This is going to be some pruning going on. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. And verse 4, the invitation Jesus is giving to you and to me. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And I began to think of how can I learn what that means. So he's saying, I want you to bear fruit, so we can agree with that, can't we? That as a Christian, God saved us in this time on earth to bear fruit. So that's what we want to do. We don't manufacture it. It's going to come through a relationship that we have with the Lord. And in that relationship, fruit is going to come forward. Okay? So he says, I want you to bear fruit. In this text, he'll say, I want you to bear more fruit. In this text, he says, I want you to bear much fruit. Bear fruit, bear more fruit, bear much fruit. And still in this text that we'll cover next week, he says, I want you to bear fruit that remains. So for me, I study and I read from men of faith, that were gifted teachers that have been with Jesus for many, many years, but their books exist today. They're bearing fruit that remains. They're in heaven, but they worked hard and labored under the Holy Spirit's leading, and they wrote ways God were speaking to them. I receive that word, and it encourages me, and it helps me. And if there is fruit that comes, to the glory of God, because others bore fruit, and that fruit is remaining. So there is some fruit that we have. But when we see that fruit, we thank God and rejoice. But God, he deals in multiplication, not addition. Much more abundantly is the terms the Lord uses. So there is fruit. We thank God for that fruit, but he says there's more where that came from. And you're just like, oh man, I didn't realize. I mean, I'm really enjoying studying God. I'm enjoying praying like I have, and I've been absent in praying and trusting and seeking, and I'm enjoying this new, refreshing, abiding relation with the Lord. And it's true. I mean, there's some fruit, and it's just so exciting. It's just like, and he says, there's more where that came from. Oh, man. And as time goes, you see, there is more. And he goes, there's more where more came from. It's much. And then you just begin to move in that. It becomes a part of your life. You understand that. You're living that out. That faith, that abiding relation with God, it's something that it just isn't a sip here and there. It's just like you're indulging greatly in the things that the Lord has. And the Lord is glorified with that. Follow with me to verse 5 of our text in John 15. Jesus again explaining to us who he is. He's the vine. And who we are, we're the branches. And what we're supposed to do. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Well, that's good, and that's good to know. We want to abide in him, and we want to bear fruit for the glory of God. And it says, without me, you can do nothing. Now, that's a sobering statement, but it's one we need to hear. It's one I need to hear. Because it eliminates the need for striving. We should be diligent. We should be hard workers unto the Lord. The scripture speaks about that. Proverbs is loaded about the diligent and the lazy or the sluggard. It's very clear. We want to be all in and all about the things that God has for us. But we realize that without him, we can do nothing. So we come to this point right now and thinking, okay, I'm following you, Pastor. We are to bear fruit. I'd like to see more fruit in my life. How does that take place? It takes place by abiding in the Lord. It takes place to listen to the Lord, to allow him to do pruning in our lives. So there are things on a vine, like a sucker or other things, they're going to zap the life out of the vine. They're going to take the nutrients that were intended for the vine, and it's they live up to the name, it sucks it all out. And you examine the vine, and you see these shoots, and it's just like, you're out of here. You're going to make a decision with your cutting tools, and you're out, because I want everything to go to the vine and head to the branches and to make fruit. So every one of us individually, just like the vine is submitted to the vine dresser, the Father who makes incisions so that there can be fruit. I would venture to say it's true with me and probably for others here that the Lord wants to make some holy cuts in our life. In other words, we've allowed things to come along this relationship with the Lord that's not good. It has to be cut away. It's sucking the life out of our relationship with the Lord. And we're living in challenging times, obviously, because of the ability of social media and all the other tools that are out there just to come on and realizing it's actually sucking the life of the Spirit out of me. And there's things that you're doing, and they could be good things that you're doing, but it's not the best thing. And God, through the Holy Spirit, wants to cut them away. That's what he says. He's going to prune. Pruning is a good thing. In Hebrews 12, it tells us, if God doesn't do pruning in my life, which is correction, then I need to consider, am I truly a child of God? If there hasn't been any pruning going on. And that pruning takes place. I don't care how old you are in the Lord. That takes place all the time in our lives as we're following the Lord. I've given an illustration in the past that even as a parent, you know, I'm 18 years old. I'm in high school. I have my 69 VW bug. I have freedom. But I'm so disrespectful to my dad. My mom makes dinner for 11 of us every night, 5:30 ready. And I remember one time coming in with a sassy mouth and saying, are you kidding me? Is that what we're having tonight? Whoa, I'm going to McDonald's. You know, I can get a real meal for 16 cents, a hamburger back then. I went out the back door. My dad went out the front door, and he met me. And I could remember it to this day, and I've shared it. But his finger in my chest, I can feel it even as I say it. He says, don't you ever talk to my wife that way again. Now, he had every right, and he had the power and the strength. As a World War II vet, LAPD cop, I could have been toast. Real easy. And I mean, his demonstration of patience is incredible as I think about that. But it was a father doing some serious pruning to his son. It's basically, I mean, one more time, that you go find another place to live at that point. He didn't, but I was right on that verge. And our Heavenly Father wants to come in, and we're violating. There's things that are causing us to violate our relationship. We're called the Bride of Christ. And the Heavenly Father, with his holy nudge, is saying, enough. Make a choice. But don't be disrespectful to me and my word, because he wants us to bear fruit in our lives. When we look at this scripture, and if you have your Bibles open, if you would please turn to Psalm chapter 1, and this will be the application. We'll end with this. It'll take a few minutes, but it will help each of us understand, how can I cultivate the abiding relationship that you're speaking about? In Psalm chapter 1, and there's three verses in Psalm chapter 1. In Psalm chapter 1, if you have it on your before you, either in a book form or digital form, it says in Psalm chapter 1, just the first three verses, and what I'm trying to do is to present a way that we can experience an abiding relationship, maybe in a way that we haven't looked at before. In Psalm chapter 1, there's three verses. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and that would be in the word of God. And in his word, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So three verses. And I want to encourage you in this. In studying the Word of God, because that's how we will grow, is by through the Word of God. So there's three things with the Word of God. One is observation. One is interpretation. And the other is application. So we look at three verses. And I'm going to it's just going to be a little in-service training for a moment. But hopefully it'll be inspiring as you find three verses after this study in this week. That, you know what, I want to grow. I want to abide. I want that relationship to come alive. So when you look at these three verses and you just observe it, what you see is he's speaking about a blessed man. And we know in the scriptures, it's a blessed man, it's a blessed woman. Blessed is the man. Okay, so it's talking about the blessing of God or a blessed person. And then it shows that this person, just observing, there's a way that he walks, there's something that he delights in. And there's an illustration that will make his life prosperous. And that's just observing it. Very simply, you just read it. Then the second thing, you look at it and say, interpret it. And this is not for application. This is just to interpret. And look at verse 1. It says, blessed is the man. Okay, great. Okay, who walks not? Okay, there's something. We're just walking through this. We're going to interpret. There's something about your life and my life, my walk with God, my abiding relationship with God. And there's information here. There's three things. That is, one, I'm not going to receive counsel for the ungodly. I'm not going to stand in the path of sinners. And I'm not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. What am I going to do? I'm going to start delighting in God's word. I haven't been delighting in God's word. It's been a chore. It's been an obligation. I don't want it that way. I want to abide in that vine. I want to delight. God, thank you for your word. Lord, I just want to think about it. I have Psalm 1. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to think about your word. I'm going to meditate on it day and night. In other words, instead of a little devotional in the morning, which is very good. Anything with God is good when you're seeking him. But he's saying, let's expand it. Let's think about this all day. Let's think about it through the day and into the night. And then the result, just on the interpretation in verse 3, you're going to be like something. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, there's a vine and a vine dresser, there's fruit. And you're a branch and you're going to produce fruit. You're familiar with the agricultural setting. And the only way you're going to produce fruit, if you wholeheartedly trust in me and not yourself and not your religion and not your background, and stop competing with one another, just abide with me like a branch abides, and you'll see fruit come from your life. And I'm going to take the prerogative to make cuts in your life. I'm going to prune you. I'm going to cut away the junk that's getting in the way, the suckers that are taking the life out of our relationship. I'm going to make those cuts, and I want you to cooperate with those cuts. And so then David, in writing Psalms, he's saying, then in a similar way, we can be like a tree. And a tree, it's by that river of water. And in your mind, you've been upstream. You've been to beautiful places in the Northwest and other places. And you've been along a stream's path. And you see the wonderful trees, and their roots are soaked in that river. That's the illustration that David is giving to us. And they're bringing forth its fruit in season. Who leaves shall not wither. And whatever he does is prosperous, because in verse 5 of our text, for without me you can do nothing. And in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, I'm going to prosper because I'm abiding. I'm with him. It's not me. It's Christ in me. So we just observed it, and we just stepped through quickly, kind of a quick interpretation. And now the fun part is the application. God, how does this apply to me today? How does this apply to me? We go back to verse 1. Am I experiencing the blessing of God in my life? Are you experiencing in your life the blessing of God? Yeah, in some ways. But in some ways, I long for more. of that blessing. Well, then let's just look and see. Who are you listening to? The counsel of the ungodly. Whose voices are speaking into your life? Who is speaking through media, through radio, through friendship? Who's speaking in your life? Who are you? Whose word are you taking? Are you taking my word? Are you taking the word of someone else? You know, we live in a time where that's just misinformation. Well, pretty much according to the world, most of this morning is misinformation according to the world. But again, it's the world that just not too long ago would consider just what we do to be rather foolish, because it wasn't long ago that in 2020, three years ago, the church was considered non-essential. But liquor stores were essential. Marijuana shops were essential. Abortion providers were essential. Starbucks was essential. Costco was essential, and a few others. But the church wasn't. And the church is not this building or this name. It's you. So our government is saying, you're not essential. But Jesus says, you are. Because I love you, and I died for you, and I live for you. And you get back in fellowship with your fellow believers under the word of God, and you just receive and you drink that in. He says, yeah, abide with me. And when we come back to the application, so Lord, we want to see more of that blessing, but who are we listening to? What voices have captured our hearts? Don't stand in the path of sinners. Where do you hang out at? Who do you have lunch with in the workplace? Who are you spending time with? Is it a good influence? Is it a godly influence? Is it a negative influence? Who are you standing with? Literally, who are you hanging out with? What kind of friends do you have? Are they the friends that are in the same race as you're in? And then, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. How much time do we spend sitting in front of a box, TV, or media? Sitting where it can say things and do things and exhibit things. And it's just like, that's not what I want. And he says, well, I want you to experience more of my blessing. Then the application in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. And his word he meditates day and night. God, I see this. Lord, you have to change my heart, because without you, I can do nothing. God, I know what it's like to do nothing. Nothing of anything that gives you glory. I understand that. Thank you for not forsaking me. Thank you that your very word is speaking to me this morning, to draw me close to you, to experience a rich, abiding relationship with you. How I want to see your word in my heart. How I want to listen to your word. I've been listening to the wrong things, to the wrong counsel. I need to just listen to your word on audible. Just read the word. Oh, God. And it's something, Lord, that I've done it in a punctuated kind of way, sometimes as needed, which anyway is okay. But he's saying, how about all the time? How about no interruptions? How about I be on your mind? I want to help you. I designed you. I have gifts for you. I have gifts that through the Holy Spirit working in your life. But you have to abide with me. You have to trust me. You have to depend upon me. I want those gifts to be worked out. You're going to be so blessed as they work out. And then finally, application. In verse 3 of Psalm number 1, using it as our overall application today, he shall be like a tree. So it gives us an illustration, a vine, a tree, something of his creation. Now, there's only two things in this world, the creator and his creation. That's it. The creator and his creation. God bless you. You all look so nice, created in the image of God. It's good to be in fellowship with one another. So he's taking his creation, a tree, and he's saying that tree has found a strategic place next to the river of water. It's the same thing. If you bought something to plant, a tree to plant in your yard, you're going to survey the yard and figure, you know, is it going to get too much sun? Is it going to get the water it needs? I mean, you're going to strategically, and God says, how about strategically planting your life next to the river of water? And he already said that he is the river of living waters to us. He's the bread of life, the living water. We want the roots of our heart to go down into the water of his word. And it's going to bring forth its fruit in season. And like every fruit-bearing plant or tree, there's seasons. There's seasons in my life where there's an aspect of my life bearing fruit. And there's another aspect that is being rototillered up in my heart right now. And the ground needs to get better on certain things in my life, in my heart. There's some that there's some new seeds from God's word are being planted and it's stirring faith for something in the future. But there's something today that is working out and just trusting God for. So in our hearts, there's sometimes things that are bearing fruit, other things that are just under our Lord's supervision in due season. And then he says, the leaf shall not wither because there's life of the Spirit. And whatever you do, it will prosper. It's under God's hand. He's in control. He knows me. He loves me. He's in control of my situation. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the patience through his word. We have the worship team come up. Thank you. And Father, I do pray for each one of us because I think it's true that we all struggle in different ways. And maybe we've created greater complexity. And maybe unintentionally through the ministry, even here, that it's created some complexities. And I apologize for that. There's simplicity in our relationship with Jesus. Teach us the simplicity of being a branch that abides in the vine. Teach us a simplicity of being well-fed, well-watered, well-cared for. Teach us a simplicity of allowing the master gardener to come in and to make those pruning cuts, to trust you, to let go of things we're holding on to say, it's enough, I'm done with this, so that the life of the Spirit can flow freely into our hearts and our minds, into our will. Renew people's hearts, my heart, our hearts today, Lord. And we do ask, God, as we mentioned earlier, if you're listening and you aren't certain whether you truly are in the vine, you don't know if you've really accepted Christ's forgiveness, I would ask you today, before you leave, you can come talk or pray, but Jesus died for your sin and my sin and the sin of the world. And there's no other way but through Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. He's offering forgiveness of sins and eternal life if we accept him and believe him to be our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.